This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Ron DeSantis, the Republican governor of Florida, has not officially announced a run for president in 2024, but you could certainly be forgiven for thinking otherwise. This past Friday night, DeSantis came to Peoria to keynote the Peoria and Tazewell County Lincoln Day Dinner, one of the largest GOP gatherings in the state. It was his second public visit to Illinois in recent months. Meanwhile, several groups gathered in downtown Peoria to protest DeSantis's appearance as he spoke to a sold-out crowd. To talk more about how DeSantis played in Peoria, so to speak, we're joined now by Brendan Moore with the Lee Enterprises chain of newspapers, which includes the Pantograph and the Herald and Review, among others. Brendan, welcome back to the 21st Show. And Brendan Moore, are you with us and unmuted?
Oh, I am here.
Oh, there you are. All right. Well, and we have another reporter who is covering some of the protests outside. We were having a little challenge connecting. Hopefully we'll be able to bring him on soon. Listeners, if you have a question or a thought about Governor DeSantis back in Illinois, second time this year that I know of at least, we want to hear from you. 800-222-9455 is the number to call in. That's 800-222-9455. All right, Brendan. So what were some of DeSantis's big messages on Friday night?
So Illinois Republicans really got the full Ron DeSantis experience on Friday. He really leaned into some of the culture war issues that he's really played up in New York or in Florida, I should say. He talked about, basically, Florida is the place where woke goes to die. He touted up ending diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts at state universities. He talked up the some of the bills, such as the Don't Say Gay bill, that basically prevent teachers from talking about sexual identity in school. And obviously, he took some jabs at Governor Pritzker, and specifically over some of his COVID policies. Basically, saying that it's unfortunate that I'm Governor Pritzker says I'm not welcome in the state, because obviously his wife and his daughter spent some time in Florida during the COVID shutdown. He said, well, I didn't say they weren't welcome. Took a couple of jabs at the governor, and he also took some jabs at Illinois losing population while Florida's gained population. So you have the whole gamut of it. So you had him really explaining his record on both on the culture war issues. He brought up Disney, his fight with Disney, and obviously some of the economic their economic record of Florida. And then there were some subtle hints at a future presidential run. He didn't say it explicitly, but he obviously said that he is just getting started. So take that for what you will.
Yeah, and I just want to say the Illinois losing population thing, as a matter of fact, Illinois did lose 18,000 people in the last 10-year census, which was just a fraction of some of the estimates, and there have been systemic problems with those estimates. But that's a conversation we've had on the show elsewhere, and we'll have another time. I want to bring in a clip of Governor DeSantis from Friday night. Let's take a listen to that.
There is no substitute for victory. We have to reject the culture of losing that has infected our party in recent years. We have no more time for excuses.
Okay, interesting. Brendan, did the governor expound on what he, or maybe who he considers responsible for that culture of losing in the Republican Party?
Let's just say that the names were not dropped, but it was an unmistakable subtle hinting of we need to look at the future, not the past. Obviously, the past would be former President Donald Trump. Both DeSantis and U.S. Representative Darren LaHood, who's kind of the MC of the event, both hinted at this, that you know, we need a winner. Governor Santis has been a proven winner, and former President Donald Trump has not been in recent years. Obviously, he lost the last presidential election. He's kind of been blamed for the party not doing as well in recent elections, in that perhaps instead of running it back in 2024, a new face is needed. And the I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but DeSantis kind of expanded upon that, basically saying that if 2024 is a referendum on Joe Biden and the Democrats, he thinks that Republicans are going to win. But if they get distracted, you know, and are not focusing on the future, that they may lose, which again is an unmistakable hint at former President Trump, who obviously faces a myriad of legal challenges. We saw even later in the weekend, there was some gamesmanship. DeSantis went on to from Illinois, went on to a few other states. He went made a few stops in Iowa. The former President Trump is supposed to be there, but it got canceled because of weather. And so I think you're seeing some of the gamesmanship of you know, obviously DeSantis is not a candidate yet, but he's expected to be in a few weeks. They're kind of hinting around. But again, there was no explicit acknowledgement of the former president on Friday.
Interesting. And you mentioned the MC was Darren LaHood, Congressman Darren LaHood, who, interesting point of fact, I think is the only current member of the Republican Illinois congressional delegation who actually voted to uphold, certify the election results on January 6th of 2021. I think we have Colin Shope from WCBU, our partner station in Peoria, with us now. Colin, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So I'd like to begin by playing a clip from your reporting. You were covering some of the demonstrators outside of the speech, and we have Heather McMeekin, a board member of Illinois Now, the National Organization for Women.
If it's too scary to show up and use your rights, you don't have rights. You have privileges, and they've already been chipped away at, and only certain people get to exercise those rights then. We're here to say everybody gets to say their own thing.
Okay, so with that idea in mind, everybody gets to say their own thing. Paint us a picture of the protests against Governor DeSantis.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to start there with just a quick clarification. Heather McMeekin is a board member on the Peoria chapter of Illinois Now. And basically, there you found a very, very wide sort of array of both the types of people who had shown up to protest this event and also their specific concerns. There were two different areas where they were doing protests, both outside the federal courthouse, which kind of served as a home base. It's about a block away from the civic center there. If you can kind of imagine the scene, they're making signs, they're handing out snacks, they're handing out pamphlets and literature. And then they would travel a block down and line up outside the civic center where people would be seeing them, holding signs, holding rainbow umbrellas, holding various, you know, signs about LGBTQ rights and transgender rights. And also they have issues with the policies surrounding schools, the use of books in schools, and the speaking to children about issues of gender and sexuality. This is all kind of to say that it was a very broad protest. You could even see signs referring to Black Lives Matter. And while there were specific concerns, there was also just this feeling of a general sort of progressive stand against not just DeSantis, but the overall strategy of the GOP at this point in time. At its peak, I'd say we probably saw about 60 to 70 people between both locations. There were a lot of organizations represented. This was primarily organized by Peorians for Black Liberty and the local chapter of the Illinois Now, as well as Peoria Proud. Some people had driven in from up to 2 hours away. I think someone I spoke to was from Carbondale, but you also saw a very good showing, people from Pekin, students from Bradley University. All this to say, a very diverse crowd in both the types of people and viewpoints represented.
Interesting. And you know, one of the biggest points I gather from your reporting that the protesters made is that, you know, the laws that Governor DeSantis and the Florida legislature have enacted don't exist in a vacuum, right? And you mentioned the one about discussions of sexual orientation and gender identity with school children. You know, these laws have real effects on real people. Can you just say a little more about that?
Yeah, so that's what's commonly kind of colloquially referred to as the Don't Say Gay Bill. And then there's this idea, it came up a lot talking with protesters, that they wanted to communicate that these same laws that were being passed in Florida were not welcome in Illinois. I think one of the organizers I spoke to said, you know, DeSantis speaking here in our little island of blue that is Peoria, not on my watch. You know, it's this idea that there are sort of progressive values entrenched in the area that they see a growing support for a president like DeSantis as sort of threatening. Yeah, it's just in general, you know, a very sort of specific concerns. And a lot of people out protesting were members of the LGBTQ community themselves. There was a drag performance. So there were drag performers. And of course, there's been a ongoing sort of battle between Governor Ron DeSantis and drag performances in the state, most recently with bills banning children from being present at shows at adult venues, kind of targeting those drag performances in a roundabout way.
And I guess, you know, a little, it was important, right? Some of the organizers told you for there to be these elements of joy and celebration, as well as sort of the, you know, negativity that often comes from protests.
Oh, absolutely. One of the drag performers I spoke with, Kara Couture, said that, you know, for her, it's very easy, especially in our age of social media, to get caught up doom scrolling is the term she used for it, where people on the internet can be very vocal about why they dislike you and what groups they dislike, and they will post it over and over and over again. But even in the face of that, it was important to both the organizers and these performers to do something fun, to do something joyous, to do something that kind of, you know, makes them visible. Whether people want to see them or not, they're going to see them there outside of the Civic Center and know that they're here and they're having a good time. And they're also in protest of these things that they see as, you know, threats to their way of life.
You know, Brendan, only about a minute and a half left in our conversation. Politically, the landscape for Illinois Republicans is not favorable, right? Last year's elections did not go well. And sometimes I think there can be a real divide between the people who vote in Republican primaries and the sorts of people who pay, you know, to attend Lincoln Day dinners. I wonder what you make of that and what the significance of this visit was for those two sometimes different groups of Republican voters.
Yeah, I would certainly agree with that assessment. I mean, even last year, former Vice President Mike Pence was the keynote speaker at this Lincoln Day dinner, and he was well received, even though I don't know if he would get the same reception among rank and file Republicans. In fact, I think there was a protest of him last year. And obviously, DeSantis is a distant second right now in the Republican primary, according to most polls, if we count any polls a year out from when voters actually vote. But I do think that it was significant in that you have a lot of people that are kind of weighing their options. Obviously, the former president is the front runner, but DeSantis is kind of viewed as the most likely alternative. Illinois, as you mentioned, is the Republicans in Illinois are kind of at a crossroads. They control no statewide offices, only 3 of 14 congressional seats. They are super, super minority status in the legislature. And so Illinois is not really competitive for Republicans in a general election. It's not really even that relevant necessarily in a primary because the primary is late on the calendar. Illinois is a player when it comes to money, for instance. There's a lot of donors, especially in the Chicago area. No doubt some of those donors were probably in the room on Friday. They sold about 1,200 tickets. It was a record attendance. So perhaps that's a sign of enthusiasm from perhaps some donors, from some activists that work on campaigns. Sure. And obviously elected officials. So I think that obviously he still has some work to do with rank and file voters. There's still a lot of time, but it's a sign of enthusiasm, certainly from some elements.
All right. And that we are out of time. So we will continue to follow Governor DeSantis and any other big presidential candidates making their way through Illinois. Brendan Moore, Colin Shulp, thanks so much for being with us. And that is all the time we have for today. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you tomorrow.